and Lamont wrote a book. Title of it is Help, Thanks, Wow. These three Sundays, last Sunday, this Sunday, and next, before Advent begins, we've been trying to think about how we might stay sane in the midst of a culture and in the midst of a world that fills our media, fills our mailboxes, tries to fill our minds with this ever spiraling out of control madness. We seek not to buy the hype. That was last Sunday's sermon. We seek, like Paul, to understand what really makes us content. And that is being in relationship with the ones we love. It's having enough to share. It's being in relationship with God and being filled with God's grace and God's peace. That's what Paul told us last week. But there really is more. Because even when we strive to do those things, we're human. And we live in this time when it is so hard to keep our feet firmly planted and not give in to the hype. There's more. And I think Anne Lamott has gotten hold of something that's important. She's a New York Times bestselling author. And this book that she's written is trying to suggest that no matter where you are in life, I would say, particularly in this holiday period, there three essential prayers. Help, thanks, wow. She really wants us to know that those three prayers, no other words, help, thanks, wow, can do a lot to carry us forward. She suggests in her book, and it's a thin little book, it's an hour and 46 minutes if you read it on Audible, or if they read it to you. In this notion of help, she says that when our ideas have run out, when our strength has ebbed, and when our ability to solve whatever before us has just diminished before our eyes, that is the time when we cry help. It's the time when we're most vulnerable and most available for help, for we have no more energy. Help, I've made a mess of this. Help, someone has made a mess around me. Help, I don't know what to do. Help, I can't see my way forward. Help, help. And sometimes she suggests it's not even a word. It could be a single tear that falls, for the prayer of help need not be even burdened by words. Help. And she doesn't stop there. She suggests the next prayer is thanks. She describes thanks as this moment when it wells up in you that something has come and it is unexpected grace. It's unexpected gift. And out of the fullness of receiving whatever that unexpected thing is, we say thanks. Thanks the state trooper didn't see me speeding. Thanks, I found the lost garage door opener. Thanks that I'm not alone when the diagnosis is what I don't want. Thanks that I have a space to lay my head at night. Thanks that I have a place to worship on Sunday. Thanks for the moment that breath comes into my body and I'm awake and alive. Thanks is that opportunity just for our heart to be engaged and for us to see and recognize the grace and take it in. Sometimes it's just thanks for being. Just the word. Just thanks. And then wow. Lamont talks at length about the fact that it's so easy to be dulled to wonder. It's so easy to be unable to be surprised. And she suggests that wow comes up when we see something that we can't reduce to manageable bites, when it's something large or small that fills our being and it's beyond what we could have created or what we could have done or we could have imagined. Wow, when you're in an airplane flying back from Philadelphia and the sun is setting just in front of the plane. Wow, when you watch a family of 9 children, all of them under in their teens, in perfect accord, all dressed alike in the airport loving one another. Wow, when you see the smile of a child, or Elaine, when you hold in your arms the first time great-grandchildren 4 and 5. Wow, when you realize that the surgery that seemed like it was going to be so difficult is not, and is more simple. Wow, when you just recognize that with every beat of your heart, your body receives what you need. Wow, there is wonder. Wow, there is surprise. And I can imagine these three prayers, help, thanks, and wow, lived out in the life of the people who were around at the time of the prophet Isaiah. You heard Ted read from the 43rd chapter of Isaiah, and it's the same piece of text on which the anthem that the choir just sang is based. There's this moment in that text where God says, I love you, you are mine. No matter what comes your way, you will not be taken out, fire or water. You are mine. I have scooped you up. I've formed you. I've made you. Wow. But did you notice that was chapter 43? Israel's story does not start with that thanks or wow. In the first chapter of Isaiah, God says to his people, for the Lord has spoken, I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. From the first chapter through the 39th chapter of Isaiah, the prophet is telling God's people, you are blowing it. You are messing up. You are stepping outside of the way the one who created you and fashioned you, who formed you and loved you. You're stepping outside of the way that one wants you to live. In fact, in the 42nd chapter, it says, who handed Jacob, that means the people Israel, over to become loot and Israel to the plunderers? Was it not the Lord against whom we have sinned? For they would not follow in his ways. They did not obey his law. So he poured out his burning anger on them. For me, that sounds like help. Israel is in trouble. Israel knows their God. But if you read through the text up to this point in the 42nd chapter, you will see that they misbehave in amazing ways. They trample the poor. They steal from one another. They demean God by raising up idols and relying on powers other than God. Throughout the beginning chapters, the first two-thirds of Isaiah, they walk away from God. And you can hear in this text that it seems like they ought to just cry. But that's chapter 42. What Ted read and what follows in 43 is what you heard this morning. I formed you. I love you. I am with you. I will protect you. I will trade others for you. You are mine. I know you by name. That to me sounds like thank you, God. Though we have walked away from you, thank you, God. Though we've not obeyed you, thank you, God. Though we have bought the hype and the craziness of the world, thank you, God. For here is this promise that you will not leave us. And in that same chapter, just a few verses after what Ted read, you see that God says to them, yes, I know you have misbehaved. Yes, I know what's in those first 43 chapters, but here's what I'm going to say to you. Forget the former things. Do not pay attention to them, for I am about to do a new thing. Wow. You love us that much, God, to not hold it against us. You love us that much, God, to make space for a brand new way. Yes. But over the last week, while thinking about these three prayers, help and thanks and wow, I went back and I reread all of Isaiah. Because, Alicia, what I remembered from my Isaiah course was that we don't hear the people's voice. In all 66 chapters of Isaiah, God speaks to the people. He tells them that they are in trouble and invites them to cry out help. He tells them that he loves them and that he will do a new thing and invites them to cry out thanks. He over and over tells them about what it will look like when they are redeemed and when they come back to living as God has called them. And they should say, wow, but they never speak. In 66 chapters, you hear Hezekiah, he's the king, he speaks. You hear Isaiah the prophet, he speaks. But the people of God are very able to speak. They speak in the Psalms, they speak in Jeremiah, they cry out in Ezekiel, but in Isaiah, they never speak. What's going on? Do they think that they're not worthy? They spent lots of chapters messing up. Do they think God is too angry? Do they think God has walked away and forgotten them? Why don't they speak? Why don't they offer the help, the prayer that is so simple that says, my ideas have run out, my strength has ebbed, what I have is not sufficient, God help. And then when God says, I love you, why don't they cry out, thank you, God, that your forgiveness is eternal, that your grace washes me and sets me aright? Why don't they cry out, wow, when God says, I'm going to ignore all that stuff and let's start again? I don't know. I cannot speak for a people who lived 2,800 years ago. But I know this. I know that you and I, in the midst of this season and maybe many seasons in our lives, sometimes forget to pray the simple prayers. We sometimes forget that God does not expect us to be self-sufficient, that God does not expect us to handle all things on our own. We sometimes forget that we can come to God with the smallest or the largest thing, and it does not require a beautiful prayer that seems the poetic nature of a Shelley or of a Walden. All we have to say is, we sometimes think that we've lived in ways that God says, I cannot bless you. You need not come to me with prayer. But God's heart is always open for God's people. There's nothing we can do. The Apostle Paul says there's nothing in all of creation that will separate us from the love of God. That prayer of help falls on God's ear like music because it means you trust God enough to bring God the truth of your life. It means you trust God enough to bring God the mess that has been made. It means you trust God enough to say, I am yours. You've claimed me and I need you now. Help. And the thanks. Beloved, so often in this scientific age, we believe that the miracles that are wrought, we did ourselves. We think we're Yahweh Jr. And all the good things that happen, I orchestrated. You do know I have 4 degrees. You know that I have a reputation, and I'm actually pretty great. We smoke our own press clippings and we forget to say thank you to the one who makes all things possible. We forget to say thank you just because I bought myself an Apple Watch so I can monitor my heartbeats. At a moment, I can click on this little thing and it's going to tell me how fast, 81 beats per minute. I can't control that. Thank you, God, that my heart beats. Thank you, God, that my lungs work. How often do we say thank you, not for the big things, but the little things? And when was the last time we allowed God to surprise us? When was the last time that the part of us that wants to explain everything away fell away and we were simply awed by the awesomeness of creation, awed by the gifts that are around us? When was the last time we said, wow? And if there's no other wow in your life, let me offer you a wow. You did not choose me, but I chose you. In all of creation, God has humans that have lived and moved and had their being. But I believe the Gospel of John speaks to each of us. You did not choose me. I chose you. I chose you because I made you. I chose you because in Isaiah I said you were mine. I chose you because I know what's in you and who you can be. I chose you because I know your strengths and your gifts. I chose you because you can go out into the world and make a difference. I chose you because your heart is full. I chose you because you're blessed and highly favored. I chose you because I love you. Doesn't matter, Zena, what you've done. I can say I'm doing a new thing. Doesn't matter the things that you can't perfect in your life. I'm doing a new thing. Doesn't matter what has held you down. I'm doing a new thing, and I choose you each day. The God of all creation looks over heaven's portal at you and you and you and says, I choose you. And beloved, if there's nothing else in the world that makes us say, wow, that God's love pours out and fills us and chooses us and welcomes us and keeps us, that God's grace is ever present for us. In this season, when it is so easy to lose sight of what is essential, what is essential is we have a God who never leaves us, whose help is ever present. What is essential is that we have a God who blesses us and doesn't want much other than to hear us say thanks. What is essential is a God who is still creating miracles around us and simply hopes we will see them and offer as prayer. Wow. This week, as you gather with family, this week, as you go to surgery, this week, no matter what comes your way, these three prayers will suffice. Practice them. Trust God to use them. And in the midst of your everyday, notice how many times they are appropriate. You see, we serve a God who stretched the spangled heavens infinite in time and space. We serve a God who has the power to do those great and grand things and pay attention to you and me. Help God when I cannot see my way. Thank you, God, for all of the grace you pour out on my life. Wow, God, that you love even me. Lamont is right. Isaiah's people missed it in that they did not speak these words. But you and I have new opportunity this day and every day with essential prayers tucked in our hearts, always ready to lift them before our God in thanksgiving and in praise. Beloved, that's how we'll stay sane.